y tertulia con ustedes hasta las 10. Y lo prometido es deuda. I had promised to you at the beginning of our show that I had a great guest for tonight. We're going to start our conversation with Magdalena Gómez. And just for full disclosure, Magdalena Gómez in the past was a commentator for New England Public Radio and was this year one of the recipients of New England Public Radio Arts and Humanities Awards. And Magdalena Gómez is a playwright, a poet, a motivational speaker as well, and a social activist. And let us welcome Magdalena. Buenas noches.
Buenas
Bienvenida.
Noches. Ay, qué placer estar con usted aquí esta noche.
Hey, el gusto y el honor es mío. I had been asking you for the longest time to come here, but I know you're always so busy, and finally it came through. Yay!
It has never been a lack of desire. I admire and love you and would be here anytime and every week if I could.
Hey, you heard it. You heard it. thank you. And so you are involved in so many, many activities, many things. We're going to focus on a couple of things due to time limitations, but let me tell you that recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I had a chance to attend to the play Dancing on My Cockroach Killers, which is based on your work.
Yes, Dancing in My Cockroach Killers was in Holyoke at El Mercado Palante Theater, which is an initiative of Nueva Esperanza, Nelson Roman, and MIFA, the Massachusetts International Festival of the Arts.
Right. You know, I always was curious about the title. What made you choose the title for that work?
Sure. Words are very important to me, obviously. And when I was growing up, one of the ways that people demeaned boricuas was by telling us that, you know, oh, you, esos son los que se ponen los zapatos de mata cucaracha. Those are the ones who wear the cockroach killer shoes. You know, it was a slur.
Really?
Basically, it was a racist slur. And it was intended as an insult. Mm. And so all of my life, I have turned insult into resistance. And that's one of the ways I did it, with the title of the show being Dancing in My Cockroach Killers. Okay, you're going to use this against me? Well, I'm going to use it to celebrate who I am, my people, my culture, and for resistance and resilience. So there.
Wow, what a great idea. It had to be you. It had to be. Awesome. That's really good. And I really enjoyed the show. It was so lively. You know, there was a lot of emotion. At least it brought a lot of different emotions in me when I was watching. And it had different sets that it covered different themes. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to do all these different chapters, different sets?
Well, there was a shared inspiration with the artistic director and founder of Pregones, Rosalba Rolón, who, by the way, this year won one of the Doris Duke Awards. Hmm. We're all very proud of her.
Yay!
And she, in collaboration with the late, great Miriam Colón, the founder of the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater, had looked at my work, had seen my work, had heard it. And Rosalba came up with the idea of honoring me. She gave me an award in 2011. It was a National Endowment for the Arts Master Artist Award. And to honor me, they asked for some of my poems and monologues to create into a performance work with music, to musicalize my work. So, por Rosalba, ¿pa qué fue eso? I gave her about 100 pieces. And from those 100, she chose the 12 that you saw. And she created a through line through the piece using one of the pieces, Invent This, which I thought was very creative. She invented the through line through Invent This, as you heard in the show. And basically, she created the magic of taking my work, and Desmal Guevara, the musical director, set it to music.
I loved the music, too, that you brought the group from New York brought this. I think there were three musicians, awesome music.
Desmal Guevara, I love to say their names because they're magnificent.
Very
and they're all
good.
They're all you know, legendary and beloved performers. Desmal Guevara, musical director, he's been around a long time. Alvaro Benavides, who has been around forever, he's a monster of a bass player, and he's played with the greats all over the world. And Nicky Lavoy, Nico. Nico is, as you heard, just an extraordinary and transcendent percussionist.
Ah.
And he studied with the greats. And, you know, he's a young man, but he has a madurez, a maturity, yes, about his playing, and a passion and a soul about it that is, you know, undeniable, and his signature.
Can you tell us a little bit about the different sets, maybe in a brief way, the themes that you touched, because there were so many themes that are current right now. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yes. The thematically, I wanted it to at least, you know, to, even though it was focused on Boricua culture, I wanted to touch the core of our humanity. And I wrote it from a very feminist and working class perspective. And it's a piece about resisting tyranny. It's about resilience, celebration of culture, remembering of past, embracing cultural memory. Some of the themes that were touched upon were the negligence that is 120 years old that created the hurricane. That, you know, that Maria, that's one of the things we use. Maria, the hurricane of Maria is blamed for things that are 120 years old. It is colonialism that is the hurricane that has done the damage to Puerto Rico, and that has been an ongoing hurricane. And so that's thematically one of them. And there's also a piece on domestic violence. Basically, if you look at every piece as a whole, you will see that it is defiance of the legacy of colonialism. And it is a reclaiming of our power, our dignity, and our culture as a people. But I feel that that's applicable to all people. We all should embrace cultural memory of who we are and where we come from. And I think that's why we're seeing such diverse audiences. And it's played in Los Angeles, in Washington, D.C. It's been in New York in 2013. It was at Pregones Theater. It's been at the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater as well. And every show, every audience, wherever it has been, I think I mentioned the Los Angeles Theater Center as well, our audiences have been from all classes, all orientations. I mean, basically the gamut of the world has come to the show, and they all embrace it. And it's and they receive it, and they feel it at the deep core of if it's humanity. And that makes me so happy. Even people who are monolingual and may not understand the Spanish, they are feeling it because it's a very visceral work, beautifully directed by Rosalba. And it does, I've been told by many people, it took me on a roller coaster. I was laughing and crying at the same time. And I said, well, I'm really happy to hear that, because that's the intention of all my work, is for us to feel and to be in that room together, feeling our humanity, sharing it, and understanding your story is my story too.
They were such tremendous actors, because you could feel the passion coming out of the pores of their skin and transmit it. I was one of those people that I was in that roller coaster at times. At times, you know, I was so sad, but then I was laughing also, because, you know, there was also a celebration of life, and, you know, of the resistance. There was one theme also, Magdalena, that was touched, which is very current nowadays, the monologue that this young man did on immigration.
Mm-hmm. Christian, it was basically a bigot on steroids.
and you wrote this out
an
many
anti-immigrant
years ago, right?
I wrote it in 2004, and everyone thinks I wrote it about the current number 45.
And no, that's what we all thought. We said, Wow, what a good thing. And when you said, oh, I wrote this a long time ago, we say, wow, how could, you know, how relevant it is.
Well, because the issue's always been relevant, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Now it's just been unmasked and exposed and enlarged. fiction, and it's under the magnifying glass of a buffoon. So I don't know. Don't get me started. Let's stay happy.
yes. But he did such an awesome work. Now, this artist, Magdalena, Los Pregones?
Sí,
they come from New York?
The original theater is Pregones Theater. It began in the Bronx. Yeah. And Rosalba began it in an apartment, I believe, over 40 years ago. And she has been dedicated and committed to presenting work that is relevant to the Latino experience, but she also creates work that is multicultural, and all of the work they create really does embrace. We have a similar vision, you know, in the reaching the core of the humanity of our audiences. They uncover history, you know, in their work, unspoken histories or erased histories. They unerase them. They unerased me. I mean, I was a vanguard member of the New Yorican literary movement. And for a while there, my work was basically, you know, just not, it was invisible to so many people. And Rosalba, do you want to hear the story how we met?
Yes, please.
We originally had met actually a long time ago in 1982 when she was in a film, and one of my acting students was featured as her daughter in the film. But it was a very brief meeting, but she left an impression on me as just a beautiful person. Many years later, Sandra Maria Esteves, who is known as the godmother of the New Yorican literary movement and who was my mentor in my youth, invited me to perform at the New Yorican Cafe, something which many people are very surprised to know was the first time I was doing it, because I was part of the literary movement, but the literary movement is very separate from the cafe. So that was my first time at the New Yorican Cafe. See, people mistake the two.
Yeah.
They think that the New Yorican Cafe is the New Yorican literary movement.
Yes, that's what I did.
That cafe is a venue, not a movement.
Ah, okay.
And so Sandra Maria Esteves invited me to perform with her, and who was in the audience? Rosalba Rolón. And from that moment, Rosalba, months later, called me and said, "We would like to honor you with this Master Artist Award, a National Endowment for the Arts Master's Award." On the phone, I tried to stay very cool. "Rosalba, I hope you're listening," because I was doing a happy dance after I hung up. And they started dancing in my Cockroach Killers. By the way, every cast has been magnificent. It's been a lot of different people doing the show, and they've all been fabulous. In 2011, they did a staged reading at Pregones Theater before they did the actual first production in 2013. That staged reading sent chills up everyone's spine. It was the most beautiful staged reading I'd ever seen. For me, it was a performance. But the actual official performance was in 2013, and they did it at Pregones Theater. Then they repeated again at Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. And then it ended up at a national conference in California at the Los Angeles mm-hmm. Theater Center. Mm-hmm. Then it went to Gala Theater in Washington, D.C. And now this week on Thursday, November 1st, it opens again at Puerto Rican Traveling Theater in New York. It's in repertory because it's very popular.
Is the same group that came here to Holyoke the one that will be in New York?
Yes, one different actor. They had to accommodate for another actor's pre-commitments. So they have one new actor. They've been working round the clock to restage it again. It's also different spaces, you know. They had to accommodate a much smaller space.
That's right.
And they had just come from D.C. at Gala, where they had a huge proscenium stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a tremendous amount of work every time you restage it, or, you know, you integrate another actor into the process. But what's beautiful about the group is that every one of them has embraced the text. They have embraced their commitment to it. They have been kind and loving and generous to each other, to me, to the work, and to their audiences, and the audiences feel it. I've had audience members tell me I can feel how much they love and support each other on that stage, and that to me is where the magic comes from.
It was a magic show, and I hope that they come back, because people that did not have a chance to see it, because it was only for 3 nights, right? A 3-night presentation.
Right.
Do you think that there is a chance that sometime in the future, near future, they might come back?
Well, if we can get some funders, you know, it's a very expensive show to do because you have six actors, you have three musicians, mm-hmm. you have a director, mm-hmm. you have a technical person, you know, it's very involved, and there's travel, there's housing,
right?
You know, and, you know, artists deserve a just wage, and that just wage does not come easily. So we thank, you know, MIFA and Palante and Nueva Esperanza for coming together to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So if there are other people out there who'd like to make it happen, talk to me.
Yes.
And I'll
yes.
connect you with Rosalba Rolón at Pregones Theater.
I'll tell you, to my listeners, I can tell you that this was a great, great show that if it does come around, don't miss it, please. It was fun. It touched on very relevant themes from domestic abuse to immigration and hopes, feminism, anti-establishment, and everything. It was just a wonderful show. I loved it tremendously. My guest tonight is Magdalena Gomez. And we're talking about the work that she has been doing, and in particular this play that was performed not too long ago in Holyoke, Dancing on My Cockroach Killers. Now, you were born in New York, so you...
Yes, I live in Springfield, Mass, but, you know, when you've been born in the Bronx, you're always from the Bronx. That's just the way it is. And everywhere I travel in the world, no matter where I am, I always meet someone from the Bronx.
And now you have other projects also that you are working on.
Yes.
Would you like to share them with
us? Sure. I have a number of plays that I've written that two of them won awards in recent years, and I'm looking to produce them. One is, I believe, the first play that's ever been written on the life of Arturo Alfonso Schomburg, for whom the Schomburg Center in Harlem is named, one of our greatest bibliophiles, who gathered, you know, basically black history and literature, and how much would have been erased without him. And the irony is that not that much has been written about Schomburg himself. And a lot of people don't realize that he was an Afro-Borinqueño. He was born in Puerto Rico and was influenced by the tabaqueros and the independence movement folks. And very rich history there that has been left unspoken. I believe there are three scholarly books. There are a number of essays and papers written about the life of Arturo Schomburg, but I don't think anyone has written a play about him yet. And I wrote one that was loosely based on the scholarly works, but I call it Erased, a Poetic Imagining of the Life of Arturo Alfonso Schomburg. And, you know, he was in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance, and he was very torn between his Boricua identity and his black identity. And so the play deals with that struggle for him, and it also deals, you know, in the context of how I imagine his life to have been at that period of time and the struggles that he had. Mm-hmm. Soy Boricua o soy Africano Americano? Mm. And what he was an Afro-Borinqueño. Mm. And my dream for this play is that in the body of Arturo Alfonso Schomburg, we can bring together two Harlems into one. Two Harlems that can really see each other and their connection to each other.
Any projections as to when that will be finished? You're working on that right now.
No, the play is complete.
Oh, it's already
actually
complete.
It was a finalist in a national competition this year.
Oh.
It's called Carnaval. And the Latino Theater Commons, which is a national theater movement run by and for Latino artists, created a place where new works that have not been produced to be produced. It was a collaboration with Emerson College, DePaul University, Howell Round, which is an online theater presence, and the Latino Theater Commons. The reason I get tongue-tied a little bit on the Latino Theater Commons is because it's so big, and it's so much, and it's so beautiful, and there's so much going on that to try and express it in just a few minutes would not give it justice. But please do look up, listeners. I'm a writer, so I say readers, right? Okay, those of you out there who like to read and write, please look up the Latino Theater Commons so you can learn more about it. So I'm hoping to do that. And then in 2015, that same competition, I was one of the actual winners with my bilingual play called Perfectamente Loca, Perfectly Insane, which deals with the life of my mother, who was, as a child, was sexually trafficked. And these are things that are not being discussed enough. And it's a bilingual play. It features three women who all play the fractured selves of one woman. And it takes us between the Bronx and El Fanguito, Puerto Rico, which is where my mother lived. And it deals with a lot of the corporal punishment that has been passed down through the patrones, through religion, spare the rod and spoil the child. And all of those horrific things that have been translated as discipline or culture and are really abusive and harmful, not only to the child, but to the parent. And I'm looking at things that are uncomfortable for people to look at. So even though the play won a very big award, a national honor, it is still difficult for people to produce it, because they don't know if audiences are ready for it. And I think audiences are more than ready for it. We are in a time right now where people are speaking the truth of the traumas in their lives. And I think this is perfect timing for Perfectamente Loca, Perfectly Insane. And the title refers to the disease of perfectionism. Because it's one thing to pursue excellence, and it's another thing to pursue perfectionism.
Perfection. That's right. Magdalena Gomez is my guest tonight here on Tertulia every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. 88.5 FM and online at npr.net. And I am Raquel with you until 10 tonight. ¿Algún trabajo a nivel local?
Yes, I'm doing something local that I'm really excited about. As you know, I started Teatro Vida in 2007 with the help of the Latino Breakfast Club. And right now we are in residence at the Bing Arts Center. And a young man by the name of Andrew Torres, who is a doctoral student at UMass in social justice and spoken word, is working with me with young people. And we're going to be having a two-day intensive institute in November. November 17th and 18th, it's a weekend, Saturday and a Sunday, and we're opening it up to ages 14 to 25 years old. The purpose of the institute is that one of the programs we have is called Ignite the Mic. We have a monthly open mic where young people can come in a safe, non-competitive environment where they are going to be loved, and they can come and they can recite their poetry, they can do a monologue from a play, they can show their visual art, talk about their photography, they can dance, they can do puppetry, they can do whatever they call art. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people have come through our open mics, and for most of them, it is the first time that they have performed in front of an audience. And they're very excited. They come back, they bring others. And what's most important for us is to make this sustainable by youth for youth. Right now, it is being run by young people. Andrew is the host. He has a group of young people who I can go and sit in the back and just applaud. I don't have to do anything anymore. And so the purpose of the institute is to train more young people on how to produce, host, and sustain an open mic in their community. But it's more than that, because in order to do that, you have to find a space. You need to engage with people. You need to find sponsors. Mm-hmm. You need to publicize. There are so many things that you have to do. You don't just set up a mic and a stage and start talking. There's a way of engaging with people. Your body language matters. Your voice tones matter. So the training will be for a year. It's an intensive training that weekend, but then they have the opportunity to come back to the Bing Arts Center where we are in residence, where we have the open mic. Thank you, Brian Hale. Shout out to the Bing Arts Center. Love you. They do all the cutting edge stuff in this valley. That's just amazing. And they're a venue unlike any other.
So these 2 days will be almost just like a little sample of what can be done. And then if the student chooses to continue, it can become an ongoing basis?
Well, it's an on-site training in the space. Mm-hmm. They'll see exactly what would be expected of them if they choose to stay on for the whole year.
Right.
And then they will come once a month and actually learn on the site all of the aspects of creating an open mic.
Right.
We ask them to make a commitment to stay for the year, if possible. You know, there are those who've already committed. We actually have already young people that have committed for the entire year and very excited to do it. And so, because the idea is to make it sustainable and replicable so that when this group of young people leave, they've already trained the next group of young people that's going to take it over. And it's very intergenerational, too, because even though the open mic is for young people 14 to 25, we are flexible in either direction. And a lot of the times we'll have featured guests who are adults. We'll have poets. Maria Luisa Arroyo, our poet laureate, she's come and read there and is a big supporter of Ignite the Mic.
Ah.
And we have a young one who comes every month. Her name is Harmony. She's 8 years old.
8 years
old. Yes, and as a result of this, do you know that she does stand-up comedy now and poetry and carries a notebook and writes poems?
Very good.
Yeah, so we want to do this training, and we invite young people, again, in 14 to 25, and we will fudge on either end of that. And also, if there are older people who work with young people who would like to train young people to do this work, I would also welcome them to apply for this. The application process is very simple. Let us know that you'd like to do it.
That's right.
And you have to contact, if you want all the information, I'm happy to send it to you. It's Teatro Vida, TEATRO. VIDA Teatro Vida at G. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one part. 08 Teatro Vida 08 TEATRO 0 the numerical 08 at gmail.com. And if you can't remember that, remember my name, MagdalenaGomez.com, and you can find me there on Facebook or Twitter.
I was looking at your flyer. Is this the one that refers to the Me Too We?
Yes, we call it the hashtag Me Too We, because it's about looking at something that's bigger than yourself. It's moving out of the me into the we. And how do we work together, and how do we unite to create something for a community that is enduring, where we at the same time can learn skills to grow as people, to become stronger, more confident, to learn to speak publicly, to be fearless, even when we feel fear. You know, I'm terrified of doing radio, and I'm loving every moment of this. Because I know that one stammer on radio is an eternity. But if I'm going to teach fearlessness, then I'd better model it.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Well said. So this starts quite soon. Can you please repeat, when does it start, and the website where they can get in touch with you if anybody out there is interested in participating in this workshop of today's?
Yes, it's November 17th and 18th. It's a Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
It begins at 11 in the morning. It ends at 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Lunch will be provided. Whatever small donation is required can be waived. We have scholarships available. It's funded in part by the Springfield Cultural Council.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very flexible about that. What we're interested in is young people who are seriously committed to doing something for the community that also enhances their lives. And the great thing about these skills is that they're applicable across any kind of career choice you're going to make. These are all skills about leadership, relationship building, and community building. In order to find more information, you can either go to teatrovida.com, which is, again, TEATROVIDA, Teatro, theater in Spanish,
right?
Vida, life in Spanish, .com, teatrovida.com. We have the flyer posted there if you'd like to see it there. Or you can contact me directly at teatrovida08@gmail.com. And that's zero numerically, not written out. So it's TEATROVIDA08@gmail.com.
This will take place at the Bing Theater.
The Bing Arts Center, 716 Sumner Avenue. It's a very safe space. And right there that weekend, they'll be able to work with microphones. They'll be able to work with the lights. They'll be able to experience every aspect of the open mic that we run every month. And by the end of those 2 days, they can feel confident to come and try their hand at one of the aspects of running an open mic each month. And by the end of a year, they would have all the skills they need to create their own wherever they would like, or if they would like to stay and continue the legacy of the open mic that we've built over almost 10 years. It's been at the Bing, and it started at the Springfield Central Library originally. And what we're very excited about, it builds literacy, it builds confidence, it builds leaders, and it builds a sense of responsibility to each other and takes us away from the screens for a while and helps us to connect heart to heart, mind to mind, and, you know, just embrace our humanity and connection to each other. When the world is going so fast, we slow it down just a little bit so we can really see each other and create something beautiful together.
On that note, we are going to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Magdalena.
What a pleasure.
The pleasure has been mine. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to come and share with us so many things. All of them are very important. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And please, anytime you would like to come and talk about any different projects that you have, feel free to come.
I would love to. And I'm sure Andrew Torres would love to join me as well. And I want to thank all the listeners who, you know, stayed with us and took down this information and will respond to it. Thank you in advance, and I look forward to meeting you and the young people that you send our way.
Very good. My guest tonight was Magdalena Gomez, playwright, poet, social activist, and motivational speaker, performer, you name it all. She is it. Magdalena Gomez on Tertulia.